ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago with a live studio audience. Wow, off the charts. That was one of the loudest ever. Hope your ears are doing well in your carpool, in your workout, wherever you may be right now, or sitting totally focused on these words. It is a pleasure to welcome you to Monday Motivation. I would like to give a special shout out to Sheer Enjoyment, SHIURenjoyment.com, where reports are that last week's podcast garnered over 6,000 hits, which is incredible. So a big shout out. Thank you to the Sheer Enjoyment community. I very much appreciate your following this. Please share it and like it as well. All right, here we go. We are in the midst of a robust spiritual response from the Jewish people around the world. And in particular, I'm proud to say from our Project 613 community, in response to this incredibly awful, terrible, tragic tragedy of what was this attack, an ongoing hostage situation, an imminent looming ground invasion that we are all dealing with as a people. You know, when it first happened, it was like a week of mourning. It was hard to move. It was hard to function. Last week, as you heard, I was fired up. I was fired up. And now, this week, I think the mood is shifting. Still fired up. But the mood is shifting now to being determined, to hunkering down, to settling into our battle positions when the world has already turned their collective backs to us, much of it, not all of it. And we are very appreciative, and we appreciate all of the support from the non-Jewish world that is supporting us. However, which is not a surprise, there is much of the world that has already turned their backs upon us and are quick to indict us for things that we did not do. So on a local front, Project 613 has been increasing our learning, our mitzvahs. There is an incredible initiative that we launched called Ignite the Light, hashtag Ignite the Light. Please go to project613.com/Ignite the Light and pick a mitzvah as easy as 15 seconds with a Moda Ani. We are gathering all of the resources necessary and are excited to be sending out different cards and even candlesticks for Shabbos lighting for those men who would like tefillin, etc. There is a lot happening, so we're very proud of our Project 613 response, including the very first ever tefillin club. Yes, we had Jewish young professional men this morning coming to our new downtown center and putting on tefillin. It was unbelievable. Okay, so this podcast, we're going to start with some thoughts, okay? And then we are going to go to what I think is as big a miracle as the splitting of the Red Sea. I honestly believe that the news headlines today, as much as people are happy about the release of these two hostages, as we should be and truly grateful to Hashem, I think it is a miracle of incredible proportions. And if people would say, "Oh, if Hashem would do a miracle, then I would believe in him." Well, folks, we're gonna get to that. Hopefully as well to another story we will see in terms of the timing, how it goes. But let's start with a few thoughts for the Jewish people at this very critical time of our history. Let us be clear. This is the moral litmus test of our generation. This event is the moral litmus test of our generation. If people cannot get this one correct, if people do not know who the good guys are and the bad guys are, then they have totally damaged their moral compass, never had one, and unfortunately may never have one. When a military force comes in to a civilian population with no strategic objectives except to kill, maim, rape, behead, burn, destroy, pummel, and the latest that I just heard firsthand from someone whose relatives this happened to is booby trap the bodies so that when the recovery people would come, it would blow up. If you notice, the death toll has been slowly increasing. Why? Because it's taken so long to un-booby trap the bodies. Can you imagine using your God-given intelligence to do something like that? To be that creative, to use your creativity to figure out how to hurt, maim, kill, destroy as many people as possible, and then to inflict agony by taking at least 250 now, who knows how many people, innocent people, are in Gaza as hostages. If you cannot figure that out, you have lost your moral compass. There is no amount of quote-unquote colonization overthrowing the empire that justifies that behavior. And in fact, the whole thing is a joke because in 2005, and this is very important that everyone understands this, in 2005, there was a huge internal rift among the Jewish people in Israel if they should give Gaza back. And Prime Minister Ariel Sharon decided he was going to do it, hitnatkut, and literally get out of Gaza. Why? Why did he do it? He did it because there were charges and claims of the world of colonization, of being a colonial power in ruling over the Palestinians. And the logic was, as soon as we leave, we won't be considered colonial powers anymore. They will have their land to build as they want. And guess what? It didn't help, because it's got nothing to do with colonization. This has everything to do with anti-Semitism. Let us be clear that all of the colleges, and I went to Stanford University, okay? I didn't go to some, you know, whatever, backwater college. I went to an elite university, and I was in that culture of what it means to get into a university like that with a private prep high school where the whole focus is to get into these places and to pay exorbitant amounts of money. It should be very clear to every sane, rational person that these places, by and large, are moral cesspools. And if I would have said that even a month ago, people would have said, oh, Rabbi, you know, you're exaggerating. Moral cesspools. They have no moral compass. They have no ability to distinguish between light and dark, right and wrong. They are so rotted to the core, bought by Arab countries, literally an endowed chair at Harvard for $25 million. That was already years ago. They have sold their soul for an ideology that looks at everything through race and nothing through morality. Thou shalt not murder. Remember the Big Ten? Remember those? The gift that we gave the world? They have relegated them because they are no longer useful in their game. And they would rather discuss microaggressions of looking at someone or saying someone or misstating a pronoun. And yet when it comes to campuses that call for open genocide this week, they say nothing. Shame on you, Stanford. Shame on you, Harvard. Shame on you, Columbia. And it even came to the point where you should see, go online, there was an assistant professor of economics from Columbia who said that he, Israeli atheist, said that parents don't send your children to these institutions. They cannot protect you, or honestly, they don't want to protect you. The Jewish community is in a very different place. So let us be clear that this is the moral litmus test of our generation. I was very heartened to see that there are many businesses who are stepping up to say that if you support Hamas, Hamas Nazis, let's call them what they are. Hamas Nazis, let's call them what they are. Hamas Nazis, yes. The last time Jewish babies were treated like this, there was the Nazis. So the Hamas Nazis, yes. Businesses stepping up and saying, if you're going to support this and you don't have the moral compass to understand who these people are, then we don't want to hire you. God bless you. And many donors to these colleges are saying, sorry, see you later. God bless you. You have passed the moral litmus test of this generation. And now I'd like to transition to the incredible awakening we discussed a little bit last week of the Jewish world and the Jewish community of our response. And I see an incredible outpouring of our young professionals in an incredible way. And I think that every Jew on planet Earth needs to look in the mirror and say, are you in or are you out? This is a continental divide, a time of history of such incredible magnitude. We have to look in the mirror and say, are you in or are you out? Are you in or are you out? And Baruch Hashem, thank God, there are many, many, many young Jews who are saying, now, I am in. I would like to share with you an incredible piece from Maimonides. Now, stick with me, because this deals with Jewish law of Ta'anis, of a fast day. Now, here's the basic idea. The basic idea is that when difficult times come to the Jewish people, as much as we do hold responsible those who deliver the difficulties, we nevertheless look in the mirror and we say, what am I doing wrong and how can I improve myself? Because ultimately the Almighty can take away any difficulty. And so therefore, whenever there was a famine in the land of Israel, there were special fast days called Ta'anis, a fast day. Why? Because it led us to repent and to figure out, what are we doing wrong? Hey, what's going on? What can I do better? And there's an entire tractate of the Talmud of it, and Maimonides codifies these laws. By the way, modern day, there are still in Israel, when it doesn't rain, there are still fast days, and believe it or not, there are people who are fasting now at various times in order to respond appropriately to this tremendous tragedy. And the Rambam starts in the beginning of the laws of Ta'anis of fast, and his mitzvahs aseh min haTorah. He says it's a positive commandment, one of the 613. Lizok la'ariya b'chatzrosos, to blow the trumpets, these special trumpets, al kol tzara shetavo al tzibor, that to blow these trumpets to cause an awakening on every painful, difficult thing that will come on the community. He quotes the verse, and he continues. And he says, "V'davar zeh midarchei yetshuvahu." It's the way of repentance, of coming back to our best selves and coming back to God. Shebizman shedevot tzara, that when a difficult time comes, v'yizaku aleha, we should cry out, v'yirio, and blow the trumpets, v'yedu yedu akol shebegal ma'aseihem ha'ra'im hura lahen. It's because we take responsibility. We came up short, and we've opened ourselves up to this difficult things, and therefore we've got to step up and go and improve ourselves. V'zehu shigrom lahasir hatzara me'aleihem. This is what's going to bring the salvation and remove the trouble when we reach our elevated spiritual level. This is what we've been talking about, being on the spiritual front lines. It's right here. And now I want to share with you Halacha Gimel, the third law in this chapter, which is absolutely mind-blowing. Fasten your seatbelts. Get ready to be blown out of the water. Aval. However, imlo yizaku, if we do not respond to these tragedies by calling out Veloyario and don't blow the trumpets, i.e. if we don't wake up, if we don't stand up, Eliyomru Devar Zem Iminagolam, no, it's just whatever the New York Times headlines is, it's just the way of the world and it's a political intrigue and it's back and forth. Oh yeah, you listen to CNN all day. You know, it's all natural consequences. There's nothing divine involved. Of Iralon, it happened to us. Vitsara zu nikra nikris. It just happened to us. It just so happens the way of the world. Hamas attacks. There's no deeper reason for it. Listen to what Maimonides calls it. Hare zu derech hagzarias. He says this is the way of cruelty. It's cruel. It's not just that you missed the point and you did. You're cruel. Why? Because you could make a difference. You listening right now, us, me, talking to myself, we can make a difference. If we kick ourselves up a level or two or ten spiritually, we can make the difference if captives are going to be returned or not. And if our Israeli soldiers are going to be safe or not. And this is what's going to happen if we just say and listen to the New York Times, it's cause and effect. Then we are what causes the evil to continue. And therefore, we're cruel if we don't hear the call. So I've been so blown away about how many people have heard the call. It's up to us to hear the call. We're in a transition mode. Rabbi Ulman Zatzal, tremendous rabbi, my rabbi, many, many years ago, a blessed memory, said that there are different ways that the Jewish people interact with the non-Jews, or how non-Jews view us. One was Avraham, and they saw him as Nasi Elohim, a prince of God, and therefore they respected him. Yitzhak had, I would say, low-grade antisemitism with Avimelech Plishtim, Grar. It was. They didn't love us. They hated us. It was low-grade. It wasn't open genocide. And then Yaakov, his whole life, he was running from non-Jews, including his own father-in-law, who wanted to kill him. And therefore, the pain right now, the American Jewish community, is that we transitioned in the last few years from Avraham mode to Yitzhak mode, to this low-grade antisemitism. And now it's been a quick, quick transition into the realm of Yaakov. Folks, Am Levadad Yishkon, we read in Bamidbar, in the book of Numbers, Bilam, the Russia, the evil prophet, he said, God gave him prophecy, Am Levadad Yishkon, we're a nation that dwells alone. Folks, if we don't step up, no one's going to do it for us. And we are thankful to America. We are thankful to the countries of the nations of the world who have stood by us. God bless them, Mishem, bless them. But the day that we rely on anyone else except Hashem and our own spiritual efforts is the day that we are in for tremendous difficulty. We are a nation that dwells alone. It is not our job to assimilate into the great melting pot of America. It's us to be distinguish ourselves as the moral barometers and the moral standard bearers of history. And now I would like to get to the namesake of this podcast, a true miracle. Now, they say in Vegas, there are Vegas odds for everything. There are Vegas odds for everything. I don't know if there are Vegas odds on the likelihood of any of the over 250. There's different stats. Some say 200, some 250, some say over 300. Whatever. Let's call it 200 is the lowest number. 200 hostages held by Hamas and other radical Palestinian Islamic groups, and even some citizens, because when the border was open, just some plain citizens, those nice, peace-loving citizens of Palestine there, so nice, took hostages as well. What would be the Vegas odds that any of them are returned? Okay, so I don't know who are the bookies out there, who's betting on NFL Sunday or the the playoffs. And baseball, I don't know. What would you say the odds are that any of them would be released? Honestly, I would say 0.00000. Should I keep going? 0.01. Hamas has zero incentive to release hostages. If you look at the military strategy, they only want to increase pain and agony on their enemy. They have zero incentive. They're going to get crushed. They don't care if their citizens get killed. They could care less if these hostages get killed. And yet, they released two this week. Two! And guess what? They're from Evanston, which is right literally a few blocks from where this podcast is being recorded. And there's an incredible story behind it that I would like to share with you in the last part of our podcast. So one of the great synagogues here in West Rogers Park is called Makor HaChaim. I attend services there a lot, also learn Torah there in the mornings. And the secretary there, I'm not sure she wants her name to be known, we'll call her just Leah without her last name. And she gives a class that the mother was attending, that Judith Ranan was attending, and she was very close. And this Leah, when she heard that she was missing, she feared that she was kidnapped, and it turned out that she was kidnapped. And this one woman, this Leah, made an entire effort with social media and contacting every news outlet. And in fact, NBC News even came to Makor HaChaim to record Leah talking about her friend Judith and her daughter Natalie, who were kidnapped by Hamas, and she never gave up hope. And they davened, they had events, and mitzvah parties and incredible things. And what are the odds that this is gonna, that they were gonna be let free? What are the odds? Zero, nothing. And they were the first two that were released. It's absolutely incredible. Our spiritual efforts are effective. We don't always know how and why and when and who, but we know that they are the most powerful things in the world. Our prayers that we're doing, our mitzvahs that we're doing. People say, you know, oh, if Hashem would just show me a miracle. This was a miracle. This was absolutely a miracle. No less, as I said in the beginning, than the splitting of the sea. No less of a miracle than the manna falling in the 40 years of desert. And we just go on to the next headline. Stop. Stop right now. Thank you, Hashem. Let's all thank you, Hashem, for these beautiful two hostages that were released. Hashem, that you released it. We say a blessing, everyone. Matir Asarim. You release the bound, you free those who are captive. And we daven and we pray that as we step up, every one of us, podcast giver included, and everyone listening, it is our opportunity, it is our mitzvah to stand up, to be counted, to buckle in, to buckle down, to be determined for the long haul, to step up, to say, I am going to be counted among the Jewish people. I'm going to increase my relationship with the Almighty. I'm going to be a kinder person. I'm going to be a more giving person. And in that way, in that schus, I am going to love other Jews. We're going to have incredible unity, and we will create such a spiritual force that, God willing, we will see more and more open miracles of Hashem's, God's salvation. God bless. Have an amazing week. And by the time, God willing, next week the podcast comes around, we will hear more incredibly sweet news, God willing. Have an incredible week, and we'll see you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.